ॐ ज्ञानचिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
In Kendrapara, a district town in Orissa, Baladev Jio is the predominating deity. Baladev Jio is spelled Baladev Ajiu. Here, as in Puri, Baladev is worshipped along with his younger brother Jagannath and sister Subhadra. However, whereas in Puri the temple is known as the Jagannath temple, in Kendrapara it is known as the Baladeva Jiu temple. Jagannath and Baladev sport swashbuckling moustaches, and Balaram, who is known as the holder of the plough, is worshipped as the supreme agriculturalist, for in this area farming is the main occupation. Standing just in front of Baladev Jio on the altar is a deity of Tulsi Devi in a human form. She holds a flower garland, and incorporated into her form is a holder from which grows a tulsi plant. Baladev Jio first came here 5,000 years ago when on pilgrimage to the holy places. When he arrived at the nearby holy place of Jajpur, Jajpur, he heard from the local brahmanas about a demoniac king named Kandarasura, Kandarasura. Baladev Jio obliged the brahmanas by killing the demon and subsequently married his daughter Tulsi. Thereafter, a deity of Baladev Jio was worshipped in a cave at Lalitagiri, Lalitagiri, a hill about 30 kilometers north of the present town of Kendrapara, Kendrapara. Later this deity came to Kendrapara and a temple for him was built in the 13th century AD. When this temple was destroyed by invading Muslims in 1663, Sri Gopal, a neighboring Hindu king, tried to take Baladev Jio by boat to his palace. But after some distance, the boat would not go any further. Baladev appeared to the king in a dream that night and told him that he did not want to leave the place of his beloved Tulsi. The king secretly kept Baladev Jiyu at that spot on the bank of the river and worshipped the Lord beneath a big banyan tree for a period of 7 years. That banyan tree is still existing, and an image of the Lord's footprint has been installed there. Later, Raja Raja Sri Gopal built a new temple for Baladev Jiyu closer to his original home. Later, under the patronage of devoted Gauriya Vaishnav kings, Kendrapara flourished both materially and spiritually, and many saintly people came from afar to have darshan of Sri Baladev Jiyu and to receive the unparalleled hospitality towards saintly persons that Kendrapara had become famous for. Local legend holds that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur visited here on different occasions. And it is well known that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first headmaster of Kendrapara High School. To this day, Kendrapara is known as a center of Vaishnavism, and the Baladev Jiyu temple prasad items like Rasavali, Magaja Ladu, and Potala Pita are particularly famous. The spelling of these prasad preparations is found on page 28 of the Choti book. Choti spelled C-H-O-T-I. Next topic. In chapter 1 of the Balabhadra Khanda, K-H-A-N-D-A, of the Garga Samhita, is found the following narrative. King Bahulashva asked Narad Muni, about why Balaram had no sons. King Bahulashva recalled that Sri Krishna, the all-complete Supreme Lord, had more than 16,000 wives, each of whom he begot 10 sons in. They in turn had 10 sons each, and in this way the descendants of Sri Krishna expanded by thousands and millions, so much so that even were it possible for a learned man to count the dust particles on the earth, it would not have been possible to enumerate the descendants of Lord Sri Krishna. Why is it then that Balaram, who is the elder brother of Lord Krishna and none different from him, did not beget even a single child in his wife, Srimati Revati Devi? Narad Muni praised the king's question as very nice, referring to Balaram as Kamapal, K-A-M-A-P-A-L-A. Narad Muni began his reply by referring to Duryodhana's guru named Pravipak, P-R-A-V-I-P-A-K, Muni, who was the head of many rishis and yogis. Duryodhana properly worshipped him with great reverence and seated him on a very valuable throne. After offering obeisances to him and circumambulating him, Duryodhana then sat in front of his guru with folded hands and asked him for what reason and on whose request did Lord Sankarshan, Balabhadra himself, come to this earthly plane. The great Balaram once single-handedly dislodged my whole city from the earth and dragged it with his plow. He taught me the art of club fighting. Kindly describe about him to me in detail. Avipak Muni said, "O best of the Kuru princes, listen to the glories of Lord Baladev, who is the best of the Yadavas. Just by hearing these narrations, all sins are destroyed. Once, towards the end of Dwarka Yuga, millions of demons came to this earth in the form of kings, repressing the planet by their ungodly influence. They created a great burden for the earth. The deity of the earth planet at that time came before Lord Brahma, taking the form of a cow, and submitted her pitiable condition before the foremost of the demigods. Upon hearing this, Lord Brahma, taking Lord Shiva and all the principal demigods, headed for Vaikuntha. They made their way through a hole in the upper part of the universe that had been created by Lord Vamandev with the nail of the big toe of his right foot. Through this, the water of the causal ocean was flowing into the universe as the holy river Ganga, and it was through the path of the Ganga that the demigods exited this universe. Seeing millions of universes floating over them, they eventually came to the shore of the Viraja River, which forms the boundary between the material and spiritual worlds. On the other shore of the river, they saw a mighty effulgence shining like innumerable suns, and they offer their obeisances to that. Then Brahma and the demigods saw Lord Sankarsana. He had 1,000 faces, and his form was marked with many auspicious signs. He was seated in the midst of many devotees glorifying him. The demigods then saw the most beautiful planet of Goloka, which is worshipped by all other planets. Therein they saw the forest of Vrindavan, the river Yamuna, Govardhan Hill, many forest groves, creepers, many different kinds of trees, and the cowherd boys and girls of Golok. After receiving permission of Lord Nikunjeshwara, Nikunjeshwara, they came to the innermost part of Golok, where Lord Krishna Chandra, the master of infinite universes, was seated gloriously in a forest grove. The Lord of Radha was blackish and very beautiful. Around his loins was a yellow cloth, and his neck was decorated with a garland of forest flowers. In his hand was his eternal companion, the flute. He was ornamented with golden anklets, kinkini, K-I-N-K-I-N-I, bangles, bracelets, garlands, his shining effulgent Kastuba gems, and many rings on his fingers. His crowns and pendants were shining like many millions of suns. But for all their attractiveness, these decorations on the body of Krishna could only adore the even greater beauty of the source of all beauty, namely Lord Sri Krishna, who they decorated. Krishna's lotus face was decorated with alkavalis, A-L-K-A-V-L-I-S. Lord Brahma and the other demigods offered obeisances to the Lord and gradually explained to him the problem of the burden of the earth. After hearing all the details, the Lord ordered his associates to go down to earth to help him relieve its burden. He told the thousand-faced Lord Ananta, "O Ananta, you first enter the womb of Vasudeva's wife Devaki, and then appear from the womb of Rohini. After that, I will appear as the son of Devaki." Chapter 2. preparation for the incarnation of Sri Balabhadra. Prabhupada Muni said, thus, on Lord Krishna's order, the thousand-faced Lord Ananta prepared for going. In his assembly were siddhas, charanas, and gadharvas. They all came and offered their obeisances to the Lord. Then his charioteer, Sumati, S-U-M-A-T-I, came and harnessed the horses to his chariot, which bore the insignia of a palm tree. After that, his mushal, M-U-S-A-L-A, weapon, the splitter of the enemy's armies. Hala, H-A-L-A, the crusher of the demon's armies. And the kavacha, named Brahmamaya, also came before him. Sri Shesha, S-E-S-A, from Rama Vaikuntha, came to him. His 1,000 hoods were decorated with crowns. Siddhas, Charanas, Panini, P-A-N-I-N-I, and Patanjali, P-A-T-A-N-J-L-I, were glorifying him. This form of Shesh absorbed himself in the form of Sri Sankarsana. Then the thousand-faced Shesha from Ajit Vaikuntha came. He was surrounded by the Rudras named Ajalkapad, Aher, etc., etc. I'll have to fill these names in later. Terrifying Pretas, P-R-E-T-A-S, and Vinayakas, V-I-N-A-Y-A-K-A-S, bracket, different kinds of ghosts and evil spirits, close bracket, accompanied him. Shesha glorified Sankarsan in that assembly and then became absorbed into his body. Then a terrifying form of Shesha came from Shvetadweep, served by his main associates, Kumud, K-U-M-U-D, and Kumudakshi, K-U-M-U-D-A-K-S-H-I. He was adorned with crowns on his 1,000 hoods and was wearing blue robes. He was as effulgent as a white mountain and wore a blue cap, bracket, this is to be checked, close bracket. This form of Shesh also disappeared in the body of Sri Ananta. Thereupon, Sri Sheshji from Ilavrita Varsha also came, served by millions of forms of Bhagavati Parvati. This thousand-faced form of Shesh was graced with shining crowns, pendants, and bracelets. He also disappeared in the form of Lord Sri Ananta. Afterwards, another Shesh came from 42,000 yojanas below Patal, P-A-T-A-L-A. This thousand-faced Shesha was beautified
by his Tamasi Kala, Tamasi Kala. He was wearing a crown shining like infinite suns. Page 5 of my notes. With him were Vyas, Parashara, Sanak, Sanandana, Sanat Kumar, Narad, Sankhyayana, Pulascha, Brihaspati, Maitreya, and many other rishis. The great snakes, Vasuki, Mahashaka, etc. Bracket, see my notes. Close bracket. Were fanning him. Many beautiful daughters of the snakes were applying aguru, kesa, saffron, and musk, smearing it on his body. His fame was glorified by siddhas, charanas, gandharvas, and vidyadharas. The great demons, Hatkeshva, Tripura, Bala, Kalakeya, Kali, and the Nivata Kavachas, walked ceremoniously in front of him, as did 11 Rudras. And the musk deer, Kamdhenu, bracket, wish-fulfilling cow, close bracket, and Varuna were following him. Various kinds of musical instruments were resounding. Mighty Shesh was holding the whole planetary system on his hood as if it were a mustard seed. This form of Shesha also entered into the form of Lord Maha Ananta. Upon seeing this wonderful pastime of Ananta Dev, all his associates became astonished and understood him to be the all-complete personality of Godhead. Lord Ananta told his associates, "Now I am going to the earthly planet to help relieve its burden. So you also go and take birth in the Yadu dynasty." Lord Ananta praised his charioteer, Sumati, and told him to remain in the spiritual world. Don't be disappointed, he said. "Whenever I need you, I will call you, and you should appear before me then." Page 6. "O Kavacha, you also remain here and be prepared to appear in the same way." After the departure of many of his associates and rishis, Lord Ananta addressed the Naga Kanyas, bracket, daughters of the snakes. "I know your desires and will fulfill them. After performing austerities, take birth in the houses of cowherd families in Vraja. There we will meet on the bank of the Kalindi, and I will fulfill your desires by dancing with you there. Then the king of the Nivata Kavachas folded his hands and offered flowers to the Lord. Bowing his head,
at his feet, he implored, "O Lord, please instruct me as to what I have to do. Wherever you go, I also want to go." "My dear Lord, I would be greatly distressed to be separated from you. You are always kind to your devotees. Therefore, please take me with you." Thus, pleased with the prayer of his devotee, King Kali, the Lord said, "You happily come with me to Bharatavarsha. You will be a famous emperor known as Duryodhana, having taken birth in the Kuru dynasty as the son of Dhritarashtra. I will help you by teaching you the art of club fighting." Hearing this, Maharaj Kali offered Lord Ananta obeisances and followed his direction. Pravipak Muni continued, "That Maharaj Kali is you, O Duryodhana, because of Lord Vishnu's illusory potency. You do not remember your original form." Page 7. Narration of Jyotishmati. Jyotismati. Pravipak Muni continued, "After that, the possessor of the effulgence of millions of autumn moons, Naga Lakshmi herself, arrived riding on a chariot. Millions of maidservants increased her opulence. With a choked voice, she addressed her husband, the great Lord Ananta Sankarshan, 'O my master, let me also accompany you to the earth. Otherwise, the sorrow of your separation will greatly distress me.'" The massive Lord Ananta, whose nature is to relieve the distress of his devotees, replied to his beloved thus, "O Ramburu, Rambhoru, please do not worry. Go to the earth and enter into the body of Revati. Then you will again attain my service there." Nagalakshmi asked, "Who is Revati? Whose daughter is she? Where does she stay? Please explain everything to me in detail." Hearing this, Lord Ananta smiled and said to his beloved wife, "In the beginning of creation, I appeared from the womb of Kadru, K-A-D-R-U, as the son of Kashyapa, K-A-S-Y-A-P-A. On the order of Lord Krishna, I held the earth on my hoods, just like a clay pot. I went to the bottom of the universe below all the planets. At that time, the highly powerful Manu called Atibal, A-T-I-B-A-L-A, Chakshusha, C-A-K-S-U-S-A, the son of Chakshusha,
bracket, check, close bracket, became the king of the whole earth globe containing seven islands. This Manu possessed all good qualities. Many great kings came to bow their head at his feet. Even Indra and other demigods respected his rule. By his mighty bow, Chakshusha Manu vanquished the pride of all his enemies. Chakshusha Manu had many sons, headed by Sudyumna, S-U-D-Y-U-M-M-A. Thereupon, after performing a sacrifice, a girl daughter appeared to him from the sacrificial fire, who was named Jyotishmati, J-Y-O-T-I-S-M-A-T-I. One day, Chakshusha Manu, out of great love, asked his daughter, "Tell me, which type of husband would you like?" The girl answered, "That person who is almighty and who dominates over all others can be my husband." Hearing this, Manu called Indra, considering him to be the most powerful. Respectfully seating the possessor of the thunderbolt, Manu asked him, "Please tell me the truth. Is there anyone who is more powerful than you?" In the scriptures, Mother Earth has said that no religion is greater than truthfulness, and that she can tolerate anything except a liar. Indra replied, "I am not strong. Vayu, the god of air, is stronger than I. I work with his help only." Speaking thus, Indra went away. Chakshusha Manu then called for Vayu and inquired from him, "Please tell me the truth. Is there anyone stronger than you?" Vayu said, "The mountain is stronger than me because my force cannot uproot him." Vayu went away. Then Manu called for the mountains and said, "Please tell me the truth. Who is more strong than you on this earth?" The mountain answered, "Because of holding us on him, the Bhumandala, B-H-U-A-M-A-N-D-A-L, is stronger than us." The mountain went away. Then Manu called for Bhumandala and asked him, "Please tell me the truth, whether there is anyone more powerful than you." Bhumandala said, "Lord Sankarshan is more powerful than I." Page 9. "He is infinite and the ocean of unlimited virtues. He is the primeval lord, Vasudeva. He has 1,000 faces. His form is like that of a great elephant. He is radiant and his effulgence shines like millions of suns. His beauty defeats millions of cupids. His eyes are beautiful like lotuses. He is decorated with a divine garland of lotus petals that is always surrounded by many humming bees coming to take nectar from it. His glories are always sung by siddhas, charanas, gandharvas, and vidyadharas. Gods, demons, snakes, and sages always worship he who is always above all. the whole Bhumandala ornamented with mountains, rivers, oceans, forests, and millions of living beings exists on one of his heads. Even one who kills the three worlds can attain liberation simply by chanting his name. Such is the most powerful cause of all causes, the Lord of everyone, and the Almighty Lord, Sankarshan. He is situated at the bottom of Rasatala. No one is greater than him. After Bhumandala's departure, Jyotishmati understood the power and sweetness of Ananta. Taking permission from her father, she went to Vindhyachala mountains to perform austerities to attain me. In the summer, she would sit within five fires, and in the rainy season within torrents of rain, and in the winter by remaining in water up to the neck. She would sleep only on the bare ground. In this way she executed austerities for 100,000 years. Chapter 4, the narration of Revati. Thereupon Indra, Yama, Kuvera, Agni, Varuna, Surya, Chandrama, Mangal, Buddha, Brihaspati, Shukra, and Shani saw beautiful Jyotishmati performing penances. Her bodily effulgence was like that of millions of moons. All these great gods became fascinated by her beauty and desired to attain her. They came to her ashram and addressed her thus: "O beautiful lady, you are blessed. For whom are you performing penance? Disclose your mind to us." Hearing this, Jyotishmati said, "The thousand-faced Lord Ananta can be my husband. For that purpose only am I performing these austerities." Hearing this, Indra and the other demigods laughed and started to boast of their own glories. First, Indra said, "Your endeavor to make the king of the snakes a husband is fruitless. I am the king of the demigods. I have performed 100 horse sacrifices, and I myself am present for you. You should marry me." Yamaraj said, "I am Yamaraj, the punisher of the living entities within all the worlds. You should marry me and become my principal wife, staying with me in the Pitri Loka." Kuber said, "O beautiful faced one, I am the possessor of all wealth. I am the king of kings. Give up your affection towards Sankarshan and immediately select me as your husband." Agnidev said, "O broad-eyed one, I am the feast of all the demigods in all sacrifices. Abandoning affection to all others, worship me." Varuna said, "O auspicious woman, I am the proprietor and protector of all bodies of water. I hold a noose in my hand. All the opulence of the seven seas is mine. Understanding this, marry me." The sun god said, "O daughter of Chakshusha, I am the eye of the universe. My powerful rays are all-pervading. Therefore, abandoning Ananta, who lives in the nether world, marry me. who am the ornament of heaven. The moon god says, I am the lord of the herbs, the king of the stars, the source of all nectar and best of the Brahmins. I am the strength given to beautiful ladies. O beautiful lady, with the gait of an elephant, worship me. Mangal said, this earth is my mother, and the Supreme Lord himself is my father. My name is Mangala. O auspicious lady, considering me the welfare of the universe, make me your husband. Buddha said, Buddha, I am intelligent, brave, and the multiplier of fortune of beautiful ladies. Abandon all the gods and enjoy life with me. Brihaspati said, I am the guru of the demigods. I am intelligent, the master of speech. Brihaspati, O virtuous lady, understanding this, worship me. Page 12. Shukra said, I am the spiritual master of the demons, a descendant of the Bhrigu dynasty, and a great philosopher. O intelligent one, considering your welfare, become my wife. Shani said, O welfare personified, I am most powerful. I influence the demigods also. I have the power to reduce everything in this world to ash just by my glance. Therefore, give up all anxieties and just marry me. Lord Mahananta said, hearing these supplications, Jyotishmati's eyes became red, her lips trembled, and her eyebrows became crooked. The fire of anger flared within. The fire of anger flared up within her as she remembered ever more deeply the only object of her meditation, namely Lord Sri Ananta. By the mighty force of her wrath, the whole universe, from Brahma Loka to Patal, began trembling. Fear filled all living beings, headed by Indra and the demigods, who quickly gathered paraphernalia for worship and fell at the feet of Jyotishmati, crying out for her protection in fear of her imminent curse. However, Jyotishmati was not to be appeased and cursed the demigods one by one. Wicked Shani, you came here to deceive me. Immediately become lame. Your power will be diminished. You will become very dark and thin. You will have to eat black urad, U-R-A-D, beans, and drink the oil of black sesame seeds. O Shukra, become blind in one eye. Brihaspati, become effeminate. O Buddha, your day, bracket, Wednesday, close bracket, will be unavailing. No one will get any benefit from pilgrimage performed on your day. O Mangala, become monkey-faced. O moon, suffer from deterioration. O sun, may your teeth break. Varuna, you get dropsy. Agni, you will have to eat everything. O Kuber, your Pushpaka magical chariot will be taken away from you. O Yamaraj, mighty demons will shatter your pride in warfare and you will be defeated. O worst of the demigods, you came here to seize me and have blasphemed the Supreme Lord from your own mouth. You will be driven away from heaven, which will be enjoyed by another king who will also take away your wife. You will be defeated in war by a demon tied up by rope and thrown in a dark prison, being taken to the city of Lanka. Upon hearing this, Indra became angry and counter-cursed Jyotishmati. O angry one, in spite of receiving Sankarshan in this husband, in this life or the next life or in any life, you will never have any offspring. Saying this, Indra returned to heaven accompanied by the demigods, and Jyotishmati resumed her austerities. After some time, Lord Brahma arrived in that place riding on his swan, along with his wife and many learned brahmanas. From the sky, he addressed Jyotishmati, O daughter of Chakshushamanu, your penance is now complete and perfect and can bear fruit. I am very pleased with you. Request a benediction from me. Hearing this, Jyotishmati came out from the water in which he was performing austerities and offered obeisances to Lord Brahma. She addressed the four-faced Lord, Almighty One, page 14. If you are really pleased with me, then kindly give me the benediction that the thousand-faced Lord Anantashesha be my husband. Hearing this, the best among the demigods, Lord Brahma said, my dear daughter, your wish is very difficult to fulfill, yet nevertheless I will see that it is so. From today, the reign of Vaivasvata Manu has begun. After 27 Chatur Yugas, Lord Sankarshan will become your husband. Jyotishmati replied, O Lord of Lords, that is a very long time to wait. Please immediately fulfill my wish. Otherwise, just as I cursed all the demigods, I will curse you also. Becoming afraid, Brahma thought for a moment and said, O princess, go and become the daughter of King Revata of Anartadesha. He is now in Kutasthali. Then in this life itself, your wish will be fulfilled. Somehow, 27 Chatur Yugas will pass like a moment. Having given this benediction to Jyotishmati, Brahma disappeared from that spot. as directed by him, Jyotishmati, took birth from the wife of King Revata and was known as Revati. The beautiful girl who was possessed of all desirable qualities, such as beauty, good behavior, and magnanimity, and whose eyes were like the petals of blooming lotuses, gradually became of marriageable age. King Revata then asked his daughter, "Which kind of person would you like as your husband?" Revati replied, "One who is all-powerful may be my husband." Page 15. Considering his daughter's request, King Revata took his wife and daughter beyond the heavenly planets to the court of Lord Brahma, desiring to ask the four-faced one, who would be the suitable person to fulfill his daughter's desire. They paused there briefly before approaching Lord Brahma, but due to the difference in time dilation between the earth and Brahma Loka, that brief period was equal to 27 Chatur Yugas on earth. In the meantime, Maha Ananta, seeing the opportune time, said to Naga Lakshmi, "O Ramphuru, lady of beautiful thighs, now that Revati is present in Brahmaloka, enter into her body. Then you will be able to enjoy my company in Dwarka." Just at that time, Mahananta himself incarnated on earth under Brahma's direction. King Revata offered his daughter, fully ornamented and decorated, to Lord Balaram, who was pleased to accept her. Balaram married Revati before Krishna married his first wife, Rukmini, it being customary that an elder brother marry before a junior. Page 23. The Garga Sanhita also tells of how Lord Balaram chastised a king of the Gandharvas. Once there was a proposal that King Ugrasen perform a Rajasuya sacrifice. Accordingly, many heroes of the Yadu dynasty set off to conquer the various directions. When Pradyumna, with an army of Yadavas, reached the Kamdud River, they fought for the sovereignty of Jambudvip. They fought with Patanga, the Gandharva king of Vasant Malati in a club fight with Maharaj Patang. Balaram's younger brother Gada struck Patang, but when Patang returned the blow, Gada became unconscious. Havoc ensued in the Yadava troops, whereupon Lord Balaram appeared there, shining like millions of suns. He pulled the Gandharva army with his Hala plow. Bracket, check this, post bracket. And ferociously struck them with blows of his mushal. Patanga's whole army, consisting of many mighty warriors, elephants, and chariots, was completely crushed. Maharaj Patanga's chariot was also broken, but he returned to his disordered city to prepare to fight again with the Yadavas. When Balabhadra learned that the king had not even then accepted defeat, he became very angry and started to pull his city, which was 800 miles wide, so as to drown it in the Kamdud River. All the buildings therein started to collapse, and the whole city was rolling like a drowning boat in the sea. Becoming afraid, King Patang came before Balaram along with his brothers and petitioned him with folded hands. He made peace by offering Balaram 200,000 airplanes crafted by Vishwakarma, 400,000 elephants, 10 million horses, 100 million gold coins, and many ornaments. He offered obeisances to Balaram and circling the river. Shortly after this, Balaram also pulled the city of Hastinapur towards the river Yamuna on the occasion of Sandhya's kidnapping.